Shepherds, part two. The word of Adonai came to me, human being, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, tell them, the shepherds that Adonai Elohim says this, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the choice meat, you clothe yourself with the wool, and you slaughter the best of the herd, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bandage the broken, bring back the outcast, or seek the lost. On the contrary, you tyrannize them with crushing force. So they were scattered without a shepherd and became food for every wild animal. They were scattered. My sheep wandered around aimlessly on every mountain and hill. Yes, my sheep were scattered all over the land with no one to search for them or to look after them. I will just continue with the footnote commentary that says, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel, prophesy. God would remove the false shepherds from Israel who had not cared for the sheep, but rather led them into apostasy. Commenting on shouldn't the shepherds feed the sheep is one of the commentaries explains that the rulers of Israel enjoyed themselves with the money of their subjects, buying marble entryways and 24-karat gold fixtures for their powder rooms, etc. With the money of their subjects, instead of caring for them, as a good shepherd, God would gather and care for his scattered sheep. And he will raise up his servant David and set him over Israel and bring the nation into the new covenant that guaranteed his blessing in the land. And at that time, Adonai will be with him. Of course, the good shepherd is, we know who that shepherd is. All right, back to the text in Ezekiel 34. So they were wandering all around with no one to search for them or look after them. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of Adonai. As I live, Adonai Elohim swears, because my sheep have become prey, my sheep have become food for every wild animal, since there was no shepherd, since my shepherds didn't look for my sheep, and instead my shepherds fed themselves, but not my sheep. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of Adonai. Adonai Elohim says, I am against the shepherds. I demand that they hand my sheep back to me. I will not allow them to feed the sheep, and they won't feed themselves either. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, and they will be food for them no longer. Hand the sheep back to me. So these bad shepherds took the sheep away from who? The Lord himself. And they put themselves in the place of worship and in the place of God. And this is offensive to God because he says, I am jealous. He's a jealous husband. I shall have no other gods, not even pastors and pulpit. Okay, I'm going to try to be nice. Pulpit preachers, pulpit ministry. They're not, well, the shepherds lay down their lives for the sheep. They don't butcher them and slaughter them. That the bad shepherds do, those that are not of the Lord. If you're not leading somebody to the Lord, the chief shepherd, and the truth and his teachings, and the spirit of truth, you're out of order. You're a false shepherd. Well, here's what Adonai Elohim says. And in fact, I'll just make a comment. A friend told me about this woman who went to this high-profile evangelist meeting this woman in conference, and she literally told the women in the conference, you may not get up and go to the restrooms while I'm speaking. If you do, the doors will be locked, and you cannot come in. And so this woman, when the break time came, everybody, of course, rushed to the bathroom. And she said it was really sad because here are these older women who, you know, they have bladder problems, right? And they were just in the bathroom because they weren't allowed to be entered back into the conference setting. And, you know, this woman said, I got up and I left and I was done with Joyce Myers. What kind of woman is that? Would Jesus do that? No, never. Here's what Adonai Elohim says. I'm taking over. And this was given to me, by the way, by my brother friend, Pastor Dewey. So I'm telling you, this is pretty close to where the rubber meets the road. That's a cruel thing to do. I will search for my sheep and look after them myself. Just as a shepherd looks after his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I will bring them back from those people, gather them from those countries, and return them to their own land. Then I will let them feed on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the livable places of the land. I will have them feed in good pastures. Their grazing ground will be on the high mountains of Israel. They will rest in good grazing grounds and feed in rich pastures on the Israel's mountains. Yes, I will pasture my sheep, and I will let them rest, says Adonai Elohim. I will seek the lost and bring back the outcast, bandage the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Listen to me. This is the job description. This is the evaluation. You know, you go in for job evals to see how you're doing, how you're performing, and whether you should be retained or dismissed. This is the job description. This is it. God says, I'm going to have to take this over. And here is what it looks like. He searches and looks for the sheep. He looks after the flock when he finds them. He brings the scattered sheep into the fold and rescues them from all the places where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark, and brings them back from those peoples, gather them from those countries, and return them to their own land. That's people. That's a direct reference to people. Because who is God placing the diaspora, the dispersion of the Jews among the nations? Who's the responsible party here? The false shepherds, the leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all those people. Then I will let them feed on the mountains of Israel. He'll then bring them back to Israel, and they'll feed on the mountains by beautiful streams and places to live in the land. It won't be like John the Baptist in the desert eating, you know, honey and locusts, and just camel's hair, and duking it out in the desert on a dark and cloudy day. Because he prepared the way for the coming of the good shepherd. Behold the Lamb of God. They'll be in good pastures. Their grazing ground will be on the high mountains of Israel. They will rest in good grazing grounds and feed in rich pastures in Israel's mountains. And Jesus himself will pasture the Son of David, his sheep, and let them rest, says Adonai Elohim. I will seek that which was lost, bring back the outcast. This is a job description now for those two shepherds that God is raising up to go out and bring the flocks back into the fold that have been scattered by apostate, I call it apostianity, Christianity, false teachers and doctrines, heresies, doctrines of demons, as it says in Jude. Yea, I will pasture, yes, my sheep, and I will let them rest. Yes, and I will seek the lost and bring back the outcast and bandage the broken and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, says Adonai Elohim, I will judge between sheep and other sheep, between rams and billy goats. I know a lot of those billy goats. We know about Jesus, but Jesus doesn't know them. They don't know. They don't follow Jesus. They follow their own beast nature. Was it enough for you to feed on the best pastures and drink from the clearest water? Did you have to trample the rest of the pasture and foul the remaining water with your feet? So now my sheep eat what you have trampled with your feet and drink water fouled by your feet. Therefore, here's what Adonai Elohim says to them. I will judge between the fat sheep and the thin sheep, because you push them with your flanks and shoulders and butt all the weak ones with your horns. Do you scatter them in every direction? Therefore, I will save my flock. They will no longer be prey, and I will judge between sheep and other sheep. Okay, this is really important. They're not going to be pushed around and harassed and bullied anymore. And even I'm the big time minister, and y'all need to, orbit around me, the prima donna, and you need to all serve me and give me all your money and, do what I tell you, and I'm heavy handed and I'm lording it over the flock. Ooh, honey, you've been lording it over Jesus's flock. You better get on your face and repent. Because that's not. I lay down my life. It's not lording it over the flock and butchering for your earthly gratifications. I will raise up one shepherd to be in charge of them, and he will let them feed my servant David. He will pasture them and be their shepherd. You know, the shepherd, he goes out and sleeps in the fields. He doesn't sleep on gilded beds. He goes out and stays with them and rescues them when the storm comes in and brings them into, safe pasture. I, Adonai, will be their God, and my servant David will be the prince among them. And now, so the author here, Ezekiel, is going between actual sheep and then the people Israel, the flock of the Lord, God's people. That's us. If we're following what? Jesus. And if the leaders are making them follow us, and we are not the example of Jesus, your dismissal notices are coming up here now. I, Adonai, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them. I will rid the land of wild animals, and they will live securely in the desert and sleep in the forest. I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing, and I will cause the rain to fall when it should. There will be showers of blessings. The trees in the field will bear their fruit, and the soil is produce, and they will be secure in their land. And then they will know that I, Adonai, when I break the bars of their yokes and rescue them from the power of those who turn them into slaves. Whoa, stop the movie here. Oh, you need to volunteer for my ministry. And you need to teach in Sunday school, and it's at your own expense. Mm-hmm. And you need to be serving over here. It's volunteer ministry. They turn them into slaves. And I heard, it was actually quite eloquent, and it really shocked me, but I don't know why it should, and I hope to find the exact script. I've been trying to research it from a series called Underground. It's a modern series. It's flawed with some pretty garish inconsistencies, but the overall theme as it begins to progress is I believe, it has an accurate threads, because slavery is in people's, abuse. This generational sins are in people's DNA to the third and fourth generation. It's been proven scientifically. And so we overcome when we overcome our parents' sin. But slavery, and Harriet Tubman, in this, gives this long presentation. I would like to find, it's probably in her notes, because I've also seen the movie Harriet, and she explains this also about her role in being the Moses for the abolitionist movement, and then flushed into the Civil War. And their slavery, and I'm going to give you the paraphrase, okay? So there's been slavery in every culture since the time of man. People enslave each other. They said, and in the South, he said, that you were slave to the politics or to the person or your slave owners or to the churches. We're talking that the Southern Confederate States, the leaders, and I've seen documents on this and films on this, the Confederate was basically led by the Masons. Thank you, Albert Pike. No, thank you. And they wanted to maintain what? Of their power and authority and control. And you couldn't read. It was a death penalty if a Negro was caught learning to read. I believe it was the death penalty. It was a very severe penalty. Why? Because my people perish for a lack of knowledge. When you read, it opened up all the other ideas, and it took you beyond the plantation, honey. And it was the same with the Native Americans. And they said the church, what was the church of the South? The Southern Baptists, I'm calling you on the carpet. And not only that, we enslaved our women, because out of the abolition movement became the women's rights to vote movement. Oh, and what is her name? The leader of it was a Quaker. I remember her father was a Quaker preacher, Susan B. Anthony. And they got up in the pulpit. You can get up and speak in the pulpit in public, honey. So slavery is also economic. When there's you don't give the wage earners their due, their due salaries, and you need to pay them every day, and you cheat them out of it. That's economic slavery. Mm-hmm. Just measures and just weights. And then there's extortion or swindling or what? Unfair prices. Well, we're just going to jack up how much you got to pay. And this woman came to Jesus and she spent all her wealth on doctors and they did not heal her. Huh? They did the job and they didn't do it right. And I'm working. This is what I see all around me. They did not get a fair price. They're all forms of slavery. But it's the religious one that's horror in God's eyes. That you go be profiting off my sheep and then you don't even take care of them. Whew, hell's going to be hot for you, honey. Hop up. The fear of God is all over me. And you don't even see it. You think that the prosperity pulpit is, you know, pimping and prostituting. Is God validates your ministry. Excuse me. You better repent. Because I'm going to share with you, Lord willing, that when this judgment comes, we're in it. It's going to come specifically on thieves and those who swear in the name of Jesus. They say they're Christians. They make vows to serve him, but what Christ is that? I don't know the Jesus you're talking about. I mean, you say it, but I don't really see you living it. Really? That's between you and God. But don't get me involved in that. No longer will they be prey for the nations, nor will the wild animals, they turn them into slaves. Slavery has always been here. Oh, and rape also is part of that. You know, sexual exploitation of trafficking men and women as property, chattel. You can do with them with what you want. And look, the Old Testament clearly tells you how to teach your slaves. They're servants. They're servants. You treat them as though they were your employees with dignity and respect like any other human being. And at the seventh year, you have to let them go, even if you bought them, because it's a year of Jubilee. I mean, it's this Shabbat year and Jubilee, absolutely. And they get to go back because people would sell themselves because they got in trouble and they become indentured servants or indentured slaves. But whatever, quote, you know, if you're under Islam, let me tell you something. The Muslims on the Barbary Coast are the ones who took and went and raided and bought all these black Africans. Don't talk to me about black power and black Muslims, Farrakhan. Get off of it. You better do your history, dude. Because they're the ones that were the slave traders off the Barbary Coast. That's why San Francisco was named the Barbary Coast. And they brought their stuff over here and they sold them to... And the Europeans and they were terrible. They the political leaders, and they bought into it. And they started trafficking slaves also to work their, you know, plantations any down in the Bermudas or Jamaica or wherever. You know, Virginia. And it was a disgrace. But each man will be called to account for his sin. So there were a few good ones, you know, slave owners. And the abolitionists were the representation of laying down their lives for others. And we don't want a civil war. No one wants to be a slave. Everybody, there's something in people. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Europeans, come on, the Scotch and the Irish, Father, the oppressed Germans, and all the Hussites were all that oppressed by the Roman Catholic Church, they fled to the United States. Because why? They wanted to be free to make their own choices. And not to pay so many taxes that they couldn't even buy, you know, decent groceries for their children and place to live with and decent clothes. Basic survival stuff. And so then they were but tenured out to the land, right? The landlord owned everything, and he took everything they had. And so they never got ahead, that's called economic freedom, righteous standards. Then, hello. So here we are. Back. Oh, and don't get me started on communism, socialism. The worst form of slavery and bondage, because people are not, they don't, most without Jesus, they don't care about you. This one, I'm going to get what I'm going to get. Yeah, well, you know, your getting is going to get you to hell. Anyway, no longer will they be prey for the nations. Nor will the wild animals devour them, but they will live securely with no one to make them afraid. I will make the productivity of their crops famous, and they will no longer be consumed by hunger and land or bear the shame of the nations anymore. They will know that I, Adonai, the God, am with them, and that the house of Israel are my people. Lo ami, it says in Hosea. There's no, they weren't my people because they went into prostitution and I brought judgment upon them. They whored themselves out to the nations. They broke covenant. You know what? In ancient Druidic, I think it's Gaelic, a covenant breaker, a treaty breaker, was a warlock. You bring the destruction. You bring demonic spirits. You go be worshiping occult stuff and pagan and all the paganism around. You listen, sin's sweet for a minute, and then it bites like a viper. And it will bring death to you and destruction. So you keep going that path, and the wages of sin is death. You know, don't you? Oh, and that's your heart. What's in your heart? What's in your altar, in your heart, in your spirit realm? Well, I listen to all gods. Well, you better not, because it'll lead you astray. And God's jealous. He doesn't have a harem. He wants to love him with all your heart and strength and soul and mind. This is the first thing, great commandments. Right after, don't have any idols. Don't tell me about, you know, Gaia worship or climate change. All that's stemmed into, you know, pantheism and earth worship and all that. Get it out. Oh, do you have your own ambition in life and your own trajectory of, well, this is how it's going to be and I'm going to get what I want? Well, that's your idol, because you haven't surrendered to the will of God in your life and his direction for you. You can't know your direction unless you know the Creator who put it in your DNA for your purpose and your destiny. So you just go follow that, you know, that Hindu princess in India, and she's going to do a reading for you. Her and how many gods? Yeah, then you're really going to be confused. There's only one God, the Son of Jesus Christ, and they gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, so that he might dwell in us, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, says in Corinthians. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. I don't care if you say, I don't believe anything. You believe in the darkness, that's because you won't come to light. This is the season of light. Light the candles. Light the menorah. Clean up the altar. Get the idols out. Clean up the temple. Do what is right. Get the Zeus, who's Zeus, always one of those, you know, demigods, right? That's what the war came out of. Maccabees. I'm God. Men go around strutting around. I'm God. I'm the landlord. I'm the Lord. That's why having property is there's a freedom to it. I don't care if you live in the desert or whatever, like I do. in the high desert. There's nobody's going to come and shove me around and tell me what to do on my property. And if they do, they're out of order. And don't talk to me about Romans 13, submitting to the authorities and the principle, to submit yourself to all the leaders. Look, there's a twisting of that scripture, because Peter went in and Acts and started preaching after they got out of jail. And it says, well, you know, don't preach in that name, Jesus. He said, well, are we going to obey God or man? Who has the thought? Who's the highest lawgiver? What is the prophecy in Deuteronomy? I believe it's 32 or 33. In the last days, this is for the last days, over the Judah is the lawgiver. The line of Judah is the lawgiver. The scepter shall not depart from between his feet until Shiloh comes. The law is in a you know, reprobate conscience, which Romans 1 says that we're given over to if we don't acknowledge God as the creator. We don't know what the law is. Well, you know, love means that we can love everybody. No, it doesn't. It does not mean that at all. Love always rejoices with the truth. The truth is if you're born male, you're a male. And if you're born female, you're a female. You're a female! You're not a drag queen. And whoever causes one of these little ones to be offended in my name, it'd be better for them if a millstone was cast around their neck and they were thrown into the deepest sea. And you know, I got a revelation on that. This is redundant from my last audio, but the millstone grinds up and crushes the grain and removes the grain from the chaff. And then it's for bread. It's for bread. You are going to be so crushed. It says right there, I just read it. I'm going to crush you, leaders, who are leading us into apostate. Annie. God have mercy on us. More is required. Oh, and who did Jesus indict? In Matthew 2, right before 24-23. Who did he go after? You brood of vipers. It was not the common average person that was just trying to figure out how to get to God for whatever reason. It was those who were the teachers and the leaders injured in the temple, in the synagogues. Yes, you, my sheep in my pasture, are human beings, and I am your God, says Adonai Elohim. Woe to this country, who had the greatest, one of the greatest. I don't know if England was greater in their missionary outreaches and all of that, but they got corrupted also. The Anglican Church being completely corrupted and is reprehensible. And the remnant now is scattered in the hills and all over. But they're still here. As in the time of Judges, they're still here. And God still loves us. And he will raise up whoever he will raise up. And Jesus isn't coming back as a lion this time. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah.